My guest at this time is Alireza Jafarzadeh. He is the deputy director of the Washington Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. The NCRI, as it is also known, is also out with a brand new book entitled Iran, The Rise of the Revolutionary Guard's Financial Empire, How the Supreme Leader and the IRGC Robbed the People to Fund International Terror. That's a topic that Alireza and I will tackle at another time soon. It was just in the last few days that the NCRI has been out with new intelligence suggesting that Iran is not abiding by the terms of the Iran nuclear deal, despite what the Secretary of State had to say on that last week. In fact, here's a bit of the recent Fox News report as Alireza explains what their intelligence sources and others have told them.
We're talking about an extensive covert operation by the Iranian regime. Our information shows that their activities have been continuing in full gear despite the JCPOA.
The group said Iran is covertly pursuing what nuclear experts call weaponization, experimenting with things like triggering devices and high explosives at this newly constructed site on the sprawling military base at Parchin. UN inspectors have received only the most limited and tightly controlled access to Parchin. The newly disclosed site carries the ominous name Plan 6.
And that's what we'll talk about for the next few minutes. Alireza, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Greg. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, obviously, you can't give away your methods and sources here, but how confident are you that this intelligence and what you've seen in the satellite imagery is accurate?
Well, we're extremely confident about this information because, you know, this is something we have been working on for nearly 2 years. Plus, these are the very same sources that have been proven accurate in the past. You know, the network of the movement inside Iran, the Mujahideen al-Qaq, the MEK, was responsible for exposing Natanz uranium enrichment facility and Arak heavy water facility back in August of 2002, which basically triggered the inspections of the International Atomic Energy Agency of the sites in Iran. That was 15 years ago, and that, you know, that situation has continued. And this network also was responsible for exposing a whole host of other nuclear sites in Iran and their whole structure for weaponization, their experts, and all of that. Plus, those who have seen the satellite imagery that we disclosed during our press conference on the 21st of April have confirmed that the satellite imagery shows that the construction, the way the whole buildings are configured, basically corroborates with the fact that, you know, what we're saying, that this place is being used for nuclear weaponization. And Tehran particularly wanted to choose Parchin for this purpose and move some of the activities they had in other locations to this place, thinking that after the game that Iran played with the international community and the IAEA, and the fact that they allowed them into Parchin after about 4 or 5 years of pressure by the international community about 2 years ago, and then that was the end of it, and that they thought that they closed the chapter on Parchin. And now I think with this new evidence, this new information, there is a renewed call among many, especially among the nuclear experts, that the IAEA should be able to go back to this place, but to this particular location, among other places that the IAEA has never inspected.
Talk about that just a little bit. Why have they had such poor access if this deal was supposed to make sure that there could be inspections anytime?
Well, that's the problem with the JCPOA. I know there are some people who highlight some of the strengths of the JCPOA, but there are, you know, many more people who are highlighting the weaknesses of the JCPOA. The JCPOA really allows access to the IAEA to certain activities and certain sites. These are the so-called declared sites, and I'm not very comfortable with the term declared site because these are not really the sites that were declared by Iran. It was exposed by us, and then Tehran said, oh, yes, we have these sites. But whatever it is, you know, they only have access to certain places that everyone now knows, like Natanz, Arak, and, you know, a couple of other locations that they go. And they basically keep track of, like, how many centrifuges they have, how much uranium hexafluoride was produced, and they have a checklist that they go through. And of course, Tehran is very shrewd, and they know that this is not the place that they need to cheat. They don't even need to cheat here. That's really all the scope of the current inspections by the IAEA is. Even though in the JCPOA, Tehran has committed itself not to develop nuclear weapons, but there's no mechanism to monitor if Tehran is actually complying with those norms. Whether, you know, what about those secret sites? The JCPOA basically covers only the overt part of their activities, you know, the sites that everybody knows. But the covert part of the operation, which is the real thing, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is not the nuclear site in Natanz and Fardo and Iraq and other places. Rather, it's the covert operation by this organization that we first exposed it back in 2011 that is run by the military, by the Revolutionary Guards, basically the defense minister, and is tasked with weaponizing the program. You know, when you build a nuclear warhead, one part is the fissile material, but there is so many other components that you have to be able to build to make a nuclear warhead. And this organization that has seven different subdivisions works on different aspects of it. This site that we exposed just recently is one of those subdivisions that is working on detonators. There is a number of other sites that we had exposed before, none of which have been actually inspected by the IAEA. The IAEA has had no access to the different buildings that we already know where they are, what the characteristics are, that is run by this organization, Sepand, that is tasked with weaponization. Our call is that the IAEA now has to have access to all of those buildings to be able to interview their top nuclear scientists, including Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, who is like the top person who's been like behind the whole program over the past 15, 20 years, and be able to follow up on the outstanding questions that was somehow put aside 2 years ago as part of the deal, and just revisit all of those outstanding issues that relates to the weaponization part of the program.
We're talking with Ali Reza Jafarzadeh, Deputy Director of the Washington Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. And Ali, I know it's difficult to put timetables on these sorts of things, especially when they're being worked on in secret in a lot of ways. But from what you've heard from your sources and from what you know about weaponization, how long does that take? How far along are they?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, and I think the short way of preventing Iran from actually building the bomb, because everyone has been talking about the breakaway time that that the nuclear agreement allowed the international community to have a little bit more time before Iran decides to actually start, you know, enriching more material. But that's all about the fissile material, but it doesn't address the weaponization part. We believe, given the whole history and all the activities they've been doing unchecked, they are very advanced. And this is something you don't want to risk, because the Iranian regime has close cooperation with North Korea. When North Korea had its third test, a nuclear test, back in February 2013, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, that's the top nuclear scientist, I mentioned his name before, was in North Korea observing the nuclear test. There is a very, very close relationship between North Korea that is helping Iran, not just on their missile program, but specifically on their nuclear weapons program. So it's a very scary situation, and the only way we know for sure that Iran will not be able to build the bomb is to change the whole situation by providing direct, immediate, unhindered access to all of these suspected sites, and build pressure on the Iranian regime, because clearly what has been going on in the past 4 or 5 years has only allowed Iran to hide its program and continue its operations.
Last question before we let you go, Ali. Given these revelations that you've made in the past few days, our listeners would probably assume that you've been contacted by either the IAEA or some intermediary or others who would have some sort of jurisdiction over this. What type of communication has there been from those who should care a lot about this?
Well, what we have done after we found out about the information and right before we made it public, we shared it with certainly the U.S. government, but also with the International Atomic Energy Agency. And they have their own, process that they usually pursue. I have no idea exactly, where they are, where they're standing. But the people who have been close to the IAEA, who have worked with the IAEA, like, Mr. Olli Hynninen, who was the number two at the IAEA and worked there for 27 years. He has had like 25 trips to Iran. He was very concerned about, what we found out about with this information, and he thought it's very important to have the inspectors back in Iran, a whole host of others who have seen the information. So let's hope that by, pressure from the U.S. government, from the U.S. Congress, Iran would allow the inspectors of the IAEA to go to Iran. I think from now it all depends how much pressure is brought about. And interestingly, ever since we made the revelation, Tehran reacted very fiercely in the past few days. The defense minister, Hossein Dehghan, spoke 2 days ago rejecting any call to allow inspectors to Iran, and a whole host of other military officials and the Atomic Energy Organization officials spoke. But clearly, interestingly, none of them denied our claim outright. Instead, they started attacking us, saying how bad we are and why the United States should not listen to us, without addressing specifically the question. This particular revelation that we made, they have made no reference to it, nor did they invite the IAEA to come and visit the situation. So Tehran's reactions actually is further proof to what we revealed before.
Did you inform the U.S. government prior to the Secretary of State declaring that Iran was abiding by the terms of the agreement, or was it so close together that perhaps they didn't have time to review it?
Well, what the Secretary of State really was talking about, saying that Iran is in compliance, he was really just talking about the kind of things that the IAEA was able to monitor. Mm. Yes, of course, they had this number of centrifuges and all of that, but he did not say that Iran is not building the bomb. To the contrary, the next day he came out and said that the JCPOA fails to achieve the goal of a non-nuclear Iran. It only delays it. It's very obvious that Secretary of State has major problems, and as the president does with the current, JCPOA or the nuclear agreement, and they're looking at ways to see how to deal with Iran as a whole, not just on the nuclear side, but on terrorism and all of that. And I think this information came in a very timely manner, and hopefully they can use it in the best way.
Well, you've certainly given us a lot to focus on going forward. Olli Reza, thanks very much for being with us. We look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you so much. I do too.
Olli Reza Jafarzadeh is the deputy director of the Washington Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. The NCRI is also out with a brand new book entitled Iran, The Rise of the Revolutionary Guard's Financial Empire, How the Supreme Leader and the IRGC Robbed the People to Fund International Terror. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.